Tomorrow we have joint practice, but today we're talking depth chart. What is up, Finn fans? Welcome to another episode of the Dolphin Collective. Got my guys here, Omar Kelly, Alan Pupar, and TD Finn's Talk. Two of them are not even in the state of Florida anymore. Two of them are in Chicago. But real quick, before we jump into all that good stuff, you see the banner across the bottom. If you're going to any games this year, we got a sponsor. And that is SeatGeek. Your boys made it. We're big time. We got SeatGeek as a sponsor. Very, very awesome site. I actually use it all the time, especially when I go to Mets games and I go to the Dolphins Jets game up here. Check them out. Over 28 million downloads. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticket app. There's more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. Use the promo code FINS for $20 off your first tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase using the code FINS. The link is in the description. Go check them out. Like I said, I use them all the time. Very good, fast, easy, reliable. Also, don't forget, if you want to become a member, hit that join button next to the subscribe button. You get all these crazy cool perks. You get your name at the end of the episode. You get the cool icons you're probably seeing right now over in the chat. Very, very cool stuff. And don't forget, we also have a podcast. Go check us out. Give us 5 stars. We love you for that. The Miami Dolphins' unofficial first depth chart was released. Take this with a grain of salt because it means nothing. But we're going to look at it. We're going to break it down. There is one aspect of it that was interesting to me, but we'll get to that first. We'll start with the offense. You can see here, there's no surprise. I'll start with TD with this one. Is there anything on this depth chart that surprises you?
I'm not going to say surprised. What I will say is I expected Taj Washington to be moved up a little bit, but that didn't happen. It was just my opinion. You know, Omar hating on the man. I don't know why. But, I just like what Taj Washington has been doing in camp. But you know what I will say? I like the wide receiver room altogether now. I think it's just a few weapons behind Waddle and Tyreek that you can play around with. You can get a little mix and match and continue to develop some of these guys to become a formidable number three. That's what I'm looking for, that official number three. Mm-hmm. They brought in OBJ trying to find it once. Mm-hmm. And somebody else, I mean, we just keep on trying. What was it, Amendola? Who was it?
Claypool at one point.
Like, yeah, we just keep trying to find that solidified number three, because when the good teams, we play the good teams and they're bracketing Tyreek and put in Waddle, we need that guy. So I'm looking for that room to step up this year, but there's great options. So that's good stuff. Outside of that, everything looks pretty right down the middle, in my opinion. I didn't really have any issues other than maybe Madison. I thought that, he might have, he's been looking good in camp. I'll just put like that. I thought he would have moved up all the way to number two. But outside of that, I love the mix here.
Alan, what's your thoughts on this depth chart?
Exactly as I would have expected. There's like really nothing that really jumps out at me. Be honest with you. Since it has been documented in interviews that Larry Borum is playing right tackle while Austin Jackson is on the mend, perhaps him not being as the second team right tackle maybe is a little bit of a surprise. But understand this about the depth chart. Dolphins are not putting it out there like every other team in the league just because they feel like it. It's because they're required to, because they have their first preseason game. In fact, coaches hate putting up depth charts.
This is probably like the first time I've ever seen the depth chart where it was pretty much accurate. And I was like,
yeah, like TD said, I was surprised Eric Uzukama was above Taj Washington.
That's not accurate, though.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Taj Washington, and again, there's a hierarchy of how players are viewed. Eric Uzukama has been with the team for, this is his third year now, or fourth year. Taj Washington was a rookie just last year, and he spent the whole year on IR.
So it seems like this is more like a, you've been here longer, we're going to put you in the rightful spot.
Generally speaking, if it's not clear, like, for example, Jonas Avainaya is a rookie, and he's the first team left guard. It makes sense. I'm with TD here on the Madison over Jalen Wright, because Madison clearly has outplayed Jalen Wright. It could be that Mike McDaniel is looking at this and perhaps sees things playing out differently once we move more into the preseason and the regular season arrives.
So the big one to me, and we'll switch over, the big one to me is the defense. They have it listed here, and again, you could probably tell me to shut up. They have it listed here as a 4-3. Are they running a 4-3 now? Now you guys can't say, right? You got that in.
Omar, what are reporting rules on that?
I can say they're running a hybrid. They're a hybrid defense.
They brought out the depth chart. Everything should be cool now.
They run multiple things.
As they have for several years. So.
Yes, they run multiple things.
Because normally their depth chart, they have, you know, the three DTs, and then you have the two outside linebackers. This is the first time we're seeing DNs, which made me happy. I prefer a 4-3 than a 3-4.
Is Bradley Chubb really a defensive end?
Let me see. Chubb
is a defensive end. The bigger question is Jalen Phillips really an outside linebacker? And I think he's that too. And then Chop Robinson an edge rusher as opposed to an outside linebacker, which technically he kind of is an edge rusher?
Could this be a sign that just the scheme is going to be having all three of those guys on the field at once?
If they don't have all three of those guys on the field on third downs, they're idiots.
Like, not if it's third and one.
Okay. You got me. Third and two, too. Gotcha. I need third and two.
wait. Who sits down?
It's gonna be Chop.
Yeah.
I figured that, yeah.
So now again, I'll ask TD this because he doesn't have that NDR sign. Have you seen Chop and Chubb with their hand in the ground? Can you say anything about that, TD, or did you sign one as well?
Not that I recall. I'll say that. Not that I recall.
He ain't signed nothing. Yeah, but if he wants some access later.
No, I don't recall any of that, though.
All right. So that's the first thing that popped out to me. Then obviously our eyes are all drawn to the secondary, and they have Storm Duck and Sheffield as the starting corners. That's pretty much it, right?
They've been the starting corners since OTAs.
Yeah.
It's funny because me and Alan were talking about it on the Dolphins in that podcast, because I am now on a crusade for Dolphin fans to leave Cam Smith alone. Just leave him alone. Let it go. It's done. It's over with. No need to talk about it. No need to keep harping on it. A second round pick is flushed down the toilet. Don't just let it be. Okay. Because Kendall Sheffield got here as a rookie trial, immediately jumped ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Jones got here, jumped ahead of him. Cornell Armstrong got here, jumped ahead of him. Mike Hilton got here, jumped ahead of him. Like, there isn't anybody who got here and didn't jump ahead of him.
Mm.
And he's hurt now. I think the best chance that he has to make the team is by starting the year on IR. If I were Chris Greer, I'd probably do that, because I don't want to acknowledge my mistake. But the reality is Cam Smith needs a fresh start. He needs to go somewhere else.
He need a Noah Igbinoghi.
Yes, he needs to be the next Noah Igbinoghi. It's not going to work here. And no matter what happens, it's not going to work here. Just let him go, either waive him or trade him. He needs to go somewhere else to have a decent NFL career. And at this point, it's about be humane about it.
Wow. Yeah, no,
I agree. It's true. Like, come on, Poupard. You know, you've watched him. He's in pain being here.
I know. I'll give you one here that kind of caught my attention. If you look at the DTs, Got two rookie draft picks, second team, ahead of Matt Dickerson, who to me has been probably the best non-Zach Sealer defensive lineman in camp.
Absolutely.
But then he's ahead of Zeke Biggers, the other rookie draft pick. So
I think that this is wrong because they should have had the all the nose tackles lined up together, and they don't.
Mm.
And there's another thing that's clearly wrong on the depth chart. It shouldn't be, because you'd assume that that it's supposed to look the way that it looks, but it doesn't look the way that it's supposed that it.
What? What did he just say?
I have no clue.
There's something here on this depth chart that looks like it's accurate, but isn't accurate.
He can't say it legally.
We also realize there's 12 players on defense.
Yeah. I think it's is that the Kenneth Grant behind Zach Sealer?
No.
It's that they're going to get flagged for too many men on the field every single time they go with that formation on first team. It's
going to be very, very bad. There's your answer for the defensive line.
So essentially, this can't even be a nickel because, again, you have it'll be 12 men.
I think you just take off the top line and you take off. It's either you use the top line or you use the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You know what I like about this depth chart, though? At the defensive tackle position, 92, Zach Sealer, the best defensive tackle in the league. I'm so happy that we re-signed him and brought him back. I've officially been beaten.
Now that you've learned his name, yes.
The comment section beat me into submission. I learned his name and everything. So, Zach Sealer, man, I'm so happy, man. I wish they would have gave you more, man.
I even talked about
it in my videos. Can you bring this down so we can see each other, Doug?
Real quick, we'll just look at special teams. 2 seconds.
Why are we looking at special teams?
Why is Jake Bailey still on the team?
Or
yeah, it's not a one or two. It's not one, two. It's or. Also, why is Jake Bailey still on the team? Is he doing better than Stonehouse? Or like, how is this? Save the million. Cut Jake Bailey. I don't understand. It doesn't.
I'd have to watch special teams to actually know these things. And
there's an alliance. Jason Simmons said, my boy Stan.
He's napping. Yeah, TD, I don't know.
Season and the holder matters to a certain degree. And Jason Sanders may be like, yeah, keep Jake Bailey. And Jake Bailey is also a better directional punter than Ryan Stonehouse and probably more consistent with the hang time.
Jake Bailey need to take that pay cut then.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes on to that.
The cheddar?
One's
the cheaper
cheddar. Than the other.
But yeah, that's the depth chart. Again, it's nothing. The depth chart before the Colts game, which if you're watching it right now, are losing 14-3 and they don't look too great, is the one that really matters. Like before that will come out the Monday or Tuesday before the Sunday game. You guys were saying like the beginning of the week.
Yep.
The depth chart isn't accurate ever really. You know, like Poupard, do you pay attention to the depth chart?
When for before week one, yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool.
So that's that. We got that out of the way. Now let's talk about tomorrow, joint practice with the Chicago Bears. I guess let's talk about what we're most interested in seeing. For me, obviously, it's the biggest one, which is not playing yourself. Because is it true? And this is something I say on my channel, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. There you go. Do you get used to playing your teammates like in training camp? Like, does it get to a point where you start to pick up on their stuff? So you
if don't not know the plays.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, that's why these joint practices are so important, because it's like, we can finally see what we have. So to me, that's the thing I'm most interested in seeing tomorrow. I'll start with TD again. What are you most interested in seeing tomorrow with the joint practice?
First. Oh, sorry.
Well, because you guys are going to be there. So
that's fine. I'm playing. Go ahead.
Well, I'm looking forward to a lot of things. Hearing from these guys on the right, hoping that they can confirm a lot of things tomorrow. Number one, Tua against opponents. Hey, let's have a sharp, clean practice, you know, against opponents, not this defense that we all suspect about in the secondary. Carve up that team over there in Chicago, because they're supposed to be a good team. They're actually supposed to be a good team as long as the quarterback. No. With the exception of, you know, Kate, what they're dealing with at the quarterback position, we don't know what's going on. But that roster they did build over the last 2 years is just a matter of putting it together. But I want to see a good outing for the first team offense, actually putting some production up against them. I don't want to come back and say, oh, it was a rough day for the offense. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. They need to, this is year three or four of these guys together, with the exception of the O-line. Hold it down. The O-lines look good in camp, in my opinion. And I think that they need to continue that. Show us against an opponent who's hungry and trying to get at you. So outside of that, on the defensive side of the ball, and I could be wrong for this. People not going to like it, but I kind of know what our corners are. I just feel like I know what our corners are.
Do you? What are they?
I think they're serviceable at best. They'll be a bend but not break group. Weaver will try to generate defense to make sure people don't get in the end zone, but you could take all the underneath stuff you want, zone it up, you know, and just make you take 20 plays to get downfield instead of three. And hopefully you make a mistake, get a penalty, and get behind the sticks and punt or kick a field goal. I think that's how he's going to work it and lean on the pass rush. I also want to see Kenneth Grant go up against some opponents and get at it as well. It'll be very nice to hear his name against a foreign team in training camp. That'll be a big ups. And outside of that, it's one person who's been balling in camp, but I want to see him, his name be mentioned against opponents. That's Minkah Fitzpatrick. I need him, because I just need him to be consistent and shine all year, because I know that they want to invest in him long term, but I want him to really have a great season and rust and just dust off that, oh, well, his numbers declined in Pittsburgh, that whole narrative, because I believe he's still got it in him. I've seen enough in camp to know he's still that real deal. So hopefully that transforms against other opponents.
Alan, what are you interested in seeing tomorrow?
Pass rushers is what we're seeing at camp, a result of the backup offensive line being as shaky as we think it is, or are they completely legit? Then again, maybe the Bears backup offensive line is shaky too, and then we still won't know. That would be nice to know. That's the one that really stands out to me. I think I'd like to see something of significance from the two quote-unquote power running backs, that being the two young running backs, I should say, Ollie Gordon too, and Jalen Wright, who I'm still waiting to see something of significance this training camp. So those are my things that stand out.
What's your thoughts, Omar, about tomorrow?
Trench play, baby. You guys know I live my life obsessed with trenches, offensive line. I want to see some chemistry. I know I don't have lofty expectations, because I know how important Austin Jackson and Alec Ingold are to the run game. We're not going to be going to the ground, but we need to see you need to see the line of scrimmage pushed. You need to see it move. We have seen it move during training camp. I don't know how much of that is because of the young players that you have on your defensive line, or how much of that is just you're changing your identity and shedding this soft finesse label. I also want to see these cornerbacks. I do, because they're not bad. And much like TD described it, they'll be a bend don't break defense. Clearly going against Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I don't think Chicago's got that much. I don't think Chicago's got those kind of caliber level of wide receivers. So I just want to see how you handle yourself and the schemes that Anthony Weaver plays to sort of mask your deficiencies and shortcomings. I'm curious to see how that plays out. But we have decided that Alan has told me I'm going to watch the offense, because he's going to watch the defense. We have, for those who don't understand, you have to work in tandem, because they work split fields. And even Mike McDaniel pointed out, you know, he's going to not be able to see what's going on the other side of the field. So your defensive coordinator becomes a head coach, and your head coach becomes a play caller. So you can't, and it's just so irresponsible to watch both fields at the same time, because you can't pay attention.
You miss too much.
Yeah, you miss too much.
Yeah, last year my first ever training camp was the Washington Commanders one, and that was a huge mistake. I was like, where do I look? Jesus.
Yeah. You can't, and that's the thing. You have to train yourself to realize you cannot see everything. So you better figure out what you want to focus on, and You can sneak some looks every once in a while, but you better get your eyes back on the unit you're supposed to be watching.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to two this year, so I can focus and then do the other one. But yeah, tomorrow's going to be interesting. Then we have the preseason. Being that we're not going to have a show before the preseason, we can kind of do a quick little preview of the first preseason game. Again, it is preseason. I'm very interested in seeing when it comes to preseason. Obviously, I want to see what these backup quarterbacks can do in live action. I want to see what the backup receivers, more Theo Weiss, I want to see what he's going to do in these situations against this team. It's for me, and you know, I always loved preseason because, you know, we get football back, so you start to get that feeling of football's back. But it's fun seeing the guys that you necessarily aren't going to see and just trying to see the depth of it. And, you know, Mike McDaniel said he doesn't know. He'll know tomorrow if any of the starters are playing. I don't
know. He already knows. He's just not telling us.
Yeah, I don't think.
I don't know if they practice bad. They might get some run. If they do that joint practice bad, you don't think they'll get some run? No?
Yeah, I don't think so. Not
percentage is 0.3%.
But I think they should, man, with that O-line. Don't you want to get them many reps?
You're going to lose players. You're going to lose players. It happens every preseason. Do you want a chance losing some of those players?
Come on, man.
You can get a gritty foul off the joint practice.
Do we realize how handicapped we are as a team?
Every team is like that.
Yeah, but every team ain't sitting there starters.
The Chargers just lost their starting left tackle. You know what happens if you lose your starting left tackle? Season.
Every team. A lot of teams rest their starters in the preseason.
Yeah. Season. Yeah, especially the first one.
Think about losing Patrick Paul. You think you're gonna you're gonna be begging Teron Armstead to come out of retirement? You lose Patrick Paul. Oh, man. Like you can't do it
anymore. It's too small.
Yeah, he got lean.
He can only play like tight end now.
No, he can put it back on anyway.
Well, and to TD's point, because the Bengals and the Eagles are playing right now. Burrow did play, went 6 for 7, 71 yards and a touchdown, but
6 for 7, 71 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Damn.
But
no elite. He's elite. No shot. He's elite. Oh, well, Omar ain't used to that word. Okay.
But Jalen Hurts did not play. So Jalen Hurts wasn't out there. I don't think Lamar Jackson played either. I'll tell you right
now. Super Bowl champs, MVPs, you know, stuff like that. They usually don't.
So then why is Joe Burrow playing?
With tongue of law.
Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl, you know.
So why is he playing?
Because he ain't win it. How about that? That's why.
that's why I won't call him.
Cooper Rush played. Lamar did not play. So I don't think Tua is going to play, in all honesty. It just, to me, there's no point. He'll probably play the second game like he did last year. Last year he came in second preseason game, went 5 for 5, marching down the field, scored a touchdown. He was done for the day. The offensive line, though, I probably expect them to play more than not. Same thing with the pass rushers. But you won't see Sealer out there. You won't see Chubb. You won't see Phillips.
You won't see any of them.
You think James Daniels is playing in the first preseason game?
No.
You think Aaron Brewer's playing in the first preseason game?
No, because they're not healthy. But I think
Patrick. If that's the case, then Patrick Paul or Jonah don't need to play.
I don't know if I play Patrick Paul because I cannot chance losing him. Like, I Rashawn Slater, sorry that happened to you, and congratulations on getting your contract before you suffered that tragic injury.
A couple days before.
Yeah, geez. But Patrick Paul, in my mind, is the most irreplaceable player on this team. Like, and I'm including, I'm including Tua Tagovailoa, because we've seen we can win games without Tua. Now it's not pretty, it's not good, but it can happen. You lose Patrick Paul, season done, over. Like,
what? That's crazy, man.
That's crazy. Now you're the one to left tackle from. Makeup
Fitzpatrick. There is one on your roster right now.
Fitzpatrick is more invaluable than Patrick Paul.
I think I can get by. You got nothing from your safeties last year, and you won 9 games. I think I can get by without Minka. I can. I can't do nothing without Patrick Paul. Nothing. And I can't play the quarterback. Tackles.
I don't buy that for a millisecond. Minka Fitzpatrick, to me, Zach Sealer are more important. They're more important than those two guys. Yeah. Good luck stopping the run.
I think you won games without Zach Sealer last year. Not to say that he's not important.
I hate to break it to you. They did not win games without Zach Sealer. They had probably their two worst defensive performances, which was against Arizona and against Buffalo. The two games after Tua came back that they both could have won.
Okay.
Oh, that's when he got poked in the eye.
That's right.
Well, to be fair, even if he was playing in Buffalo, Josh was going to do what he was going to do.
Listen here. You're not allowed to say anything. You don't like Zach Sealer.
Oh, that's my guy.
Zach Sealer. No.
Give me your name right. All right. That's my guy, man. No slander, okay?
Bandwagon rider over here.
Yeah, I'm forced to. Now.
Yeah, you got it bad. I was like, golly. Like,
yeah, I was like, yeah. No. You can't, like, you got to know Zach. You can't be talking bad about Zach like that.
Hey, well, hold on. What did I say bad about Zach?
Oh,
I just said if I was the Dolphins on it, wouldn't have paid him. That's it. He's my guy. I like Zach.
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was on with the dive bar guys, mm-hmm. which, mm-hmm. I'm not. No offense, I a lot of things going on. I don't watch all of everybody's podcasts, but he said something, was talking about it. Not only did he say that Zach is probably the second best athlete in his family, giving credit to Hannah, but he also talked about how valuable it is when a guy like Zach signs a good deal, because you, at the same point I make, you talk about the players talk about this stuff. They talk about the stuff, and you cannot preach what you're preaching, talk what you're talking, install what you're installing, change culture the way you're trying to change culture, and then not take care of Zach. It's just, it don't work like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Chris Greer usually believes, though, you know, he's earned his right to enter free agency and get paid.
That's when they're gone.
I've had a take on Zach, and y'all tell me if I'm wrong. I want y'all to really think about this.
You're wrong.
But Zach, the 4 years Christian was here, mm-hmm. Zach Sealer was better than him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not every year, but
the 4 years combined, you put it together. Zach was a better player.
Yeah, like now that Christian, all four of those years,
Christian didn't put on until year three.
Yeah, and now that Christian's not here and Sealer still got double digit sacks, you see who was, you know, benefiting from who.
I used to watch the D line practice, and their position coach, Austin Clark. He used to tell Christian, you need to be like Zach. You need to do it like Zach. And I'd be watching it like, hey, this guy's the first round pick. This guy's the undrafted guy. But Zach gave Austin Clark a lot of credit. And Matt Dickerson did today too.
They all do. Yeah.
Matt Dickerson did today too, because Zach said he didn't have the fundamentals and technique and teaching you what to look for when he was at his Ferris State. And he learned that stuff from Austin, because Austin came from the college level. Mm. And he's like, Austin just taught me the fundamentals of the game, all the things that I did not have and did not know. And especially during that COVID year where there wasn't a lot of in-person coaching and teaching, Austin just did tutorials about these are the fundamentals of the position. And it really taught him how to play the game, and it just clicked.
I forgot that was like Sealer's first like full year with the Dolphins was the COVID year, which is crazy. And that's probably why he doesn't have, you know, again, age is a different thing, but he doesn't have that much wear on the tires, because UDFA comes in. Well, he was a UDFA or was he a late round?
No, he was a seventh round draft pick of the Ravens.
Goes to Miami. He didn't play much in college, and then his first full year with the Dolphins, he barely had any training camp or anything.
But he showed up. I remember the game he showed up in Cincinnati. I remember because I wrote a column about it for the Sun Sentinel when I was working there. I'm like, who is this guy that shows up and contributes to a win? Like, it was a game that they shouldn't have won. They should have lost that damn thing.
It wouldn't have been the one pick, though.
I know. You always get these semantics in the way of a good story.
Didn't we go for two in that game, or was that the Washington game we went for two and didn't get it?
They went for two.
And everyone's like, they're tanking.
They were, just the head coach wasn't.
Yeah.
100%. There was a narrative with Zach, though, that he's only good because of Christian Wilkins is next to him.
I never believed that.
Here's what
he was out there a little bit that he benefited.
He was out there, but I never believed that.
Well, I guess because people were saying, oh, he's proven without Christian, but Calais Campbell played at a high level last year, too. So this is the year where you'll know what Zach is, in my opinion, where he'll have help, but you know he's the main guy.
The thing about Zach that I really like and appreciate is Zach gets off on twisting and stunning. And I haven't seen any of that yet, and maybe they'll get to it. Maybe that's a game planning thing. I don't know who he can twist and stunt with, but that's a very big element of his game.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were talking about Austin Clark and how he helped Sealer. You're starting to see that with the Chop, because as the years went on, like he's been here for decades. As last year went on towards the end, Chop started kind of getting more into what he was doing versus just trying to run through these guys, which that's what he did in college. He just used his speed.
With Chop, you would watch after practice, he's working with Teron Armstead. He's working with Calais Campbell. The veterans, the leaders of that team, they really put in a lot of work with Chop to get him to the point where he was starting to produce. And to their credit, like they never gave up on him, and you know they still highly believe in him, that the ability that he has we still haven't tapped it yet.
Excited to see what he can do.
You watch him after practice. He's working with Teron. He's working with Calais. Like those grizzled veterans, they really really invested in Chop. I don't know why Mo Kamara and all those guys never stayed there to learn all that stuff. But yeah, props to them. Like I wrote a column about it. I give Teron and Calais a ton of credit for what happened to Cap in that second half of the season.
We got our first donation from Lucky Luciano. Is it not a baseball player? Or is that a boxer?
Isn't that gangster from Chicago from the Untouchables?
Right,
Lucky Luciano.
A $5 donation. What would have happened? This is a. Met, you know, a nice little travel back in time. Yeah. If Flores and TD got their way and we traded Tua and several first rounders for Watson, then gave him that fully guaranteed deal.
People love saying this, but we have no clue. He might have never got hurt. Mm-hmm. We don't know. He might have been better in this offense. Who knows? He might have been way worse. He could have been worse than he was in Cleveland. We have no clue. Until a guy's in the building and he's working in the system that you have for him, you have no clue.
Watson was a top five quarterback in the NFL before all the stuff that went on with him. Tua is still waiting to be a top five quarterback. So
how dare you? How dare you?
But he's at 16, 17 right now.
Yeah. 12.
Well, the top 100 players is 16, 17.
Doug, Omar's the one who pulled that trigger right there. Nobody else.
Well, what trigger?
It wasn't TD. Oh, you know damn what I'm talking about.
Actually, technically, it was the comment kind of pulled the trigger. But
he could have left it alone.
He could have. You know what? The comment put the fuse down, and then TD went over. No, Omar went over and he lit it.
Somebody I got yeah. in your hard-earned money. I got to answer the question.
Brandon, becoming a member.
Hold on, but I would like to say this.
Go ahead.
Flores was never going to work long-term here.
No.
Because he does not know how to play well with others.
And again, shout out to the dive bar. Listen to what Fitzpatrick had to say about that. Because even Fitzpatrick came out and he was saying, great defensive-minded coach. But he was like, he was not ready to be a head coach. And he even said, he was like, the defense loved him. He was like, but the assistant coaches didn't. And Omar, you've talked about it ad nauseum about Brandon Graham going to the Giants. Like one of his good friends was like, I'm out. So, you know, he wasn't ready. He's probably ready now, but just like Dan Campbell, who took a minute, but he's obviously ready now.
I learned from Joe Philbin. And over the years, I've learned the caliber and quality of staff that you could put together.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of indicates whether or not you're ready to be head coach. Brian Flores would have to tell me without an wavering doubt who his offensive coordinator is before I even consider hiring him. Like, who is ready to sign up right now? And if he can't tell me a good enough name, I ain't messing with it. Just,
you think that's, besides the lawsuit, do you think that's why he didn't get a head coaching opportunity?
I think it's more I think it's more the reputation that's out there than the lawsuit. I mean,
we have to be honest though. It is not easy to find a good OC. It's just not easy.
It's, you're right. It's not easy. That's, I mean, why it's, that's why you can't,
or like, DC. I mean, it's just,
nah, not, I think easy. It's easy to find a DC.
You can find one, but a good one, a top caliber.
The thing about, no. I think it's easy. Here's my theory on why I think it's easy to find a good DC. If an offensive coordinator has one good season, he's going to be elevated, become head coach. Like that. Because if, especially if he works with quarterbacks, and, you know, look at Ben Johnson. Like, it's like that. A defensive coordinator probably has to put together maybe five good seasons to even get a chance.
Luana Rumo.
Yeah. Then even when they get a chance, like I was having this conversation with Alan the other day. You know, I would hire, and this is a conversation I can have with you gentlemen and the Dolphins collective. Tell me what lie Vic Fangio told about the Dolphins.
None.
Name where he was wrong about the Dolphins.
Yeah, there wasn't one.
And would he be arguably the best defensive coordinator in the NFL right now?
Yeah. Spagnuolo, him and Spags are probably one and two, depending on which one you want to.
So why wouldn't he get another opportunity to become a head coach?
Well, first off, he doesn't want to be.
No, you don't know that.
No,
I would disagree with you because he thinks he got a raw deal with the Colton years.
At this stage, he doesn't want to be anymore.
I would disagree with you.
I spoke to him at the Super Bowl. I was there. I interviewed him and I asked him. And he was like, I'll never be his head coach again. I don't want to do that again. He was adamant.
He really said that? He really said that?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have it on film. I got it on camera.
Man, listen.
He does not want to be a head coach anymore. Because we asked you, like, no, I'll never be a head coach again. I'm
I think he knows he'll never be a head coach because of his reputation. But I think Poop, and maybe you disagree. I'm curious if you agree or disagree. I think if he was given the opportunity, he would definitely jump at it. Maybe. But he probably, arrogance, he'll probably never want to go through the interview process just because he knows what time it is. And
he might just say, yeah, you know what my resume is.
Yeah. Mm. But if I'm, I know Louis Riddick is a big fan. If Louis Riddick gets a job and says, you're my guy, I promise you he's going to take the job.
Mm.
But, you know, does he want to, does he need to jump through hoops to be a head coach anymore? He makes a lot of money as a defensive coordinator, doesn't have all the responsibility and pressure. And I also have a question about whether or not he could put together a staff anymore.
He seems so settled, though. Like, I'm good. I'm coaching.
Well, he loves being in Philly, which is.
Yeah, he seems.
Yes.
And you could say that's the same thing for Steve Spagnuolo. He's winning Super Bowls, and he's just, like Omar said, he doesn't have to have the whole headache of being the head coach. He just focuses on his job as a defensive coordinator, wins rings, and gets paid. Because Spagnuolo had opportunities to be a new head coach, and I'm surprised he didn't take any of them. Bill Jones with the tenor says, hey, Dougley, next time you take the Browns to the Super Bowl, watch out for any soft tissue injuries. Keep an eye out for those, Phil. Thank you for that. Randy with a $50 donation, throwing the money. Dolphins Collective, then our backfield, big fan of all four of you. Appreciate you and your very, very generous donation.
Thank you, Brandon.
Miguel with the fiver says, can Tua be highly effective in a different offensive scheme, or is it the quick timing RPO offense the only way for him to be highly successful?
That's your question, Omar. Go ahead.
No, I'd like to.
I don't think it's about the RPO. Because
do they run an RPO here? Because they don't.
He didn't run it in Alabama, right?
No, he ran RPO at Alabama. And he ran RPO early in his Flores days. That was why Gailey was hired to install the RPO. But here, they don't really run RPO. They run West Coast offense.
I honestly think give them a run game.
It's a timing offense.
Huh?
It is a timing offense.
It's a West Coast timing offense, yeah. Timing-based offense.
I think if you give Tua a running game and an offensive line, it doesn't really matter the scheme of the offense. You
know, the real question
you got a pro tight end and two all-pro wide receivers.
I don't think he needs that. I know you're trying to start something, but I don't think he needs that. Give him a running game, give him an offensive line.
Give him an offensive line.
Doug, how many quarterbacks can we apply that to?
Give him Josh Allen wide receiver core.
Yeah, and if he has a running game and an offensive line, I think
he had Josh Allen's wide receiving core his first couple years and still had a winning record.
That defense led the way. Stop,
Omar. Come on, man. Seriously.
Look what Miguel did because of the defense.
Thank you. Alan, we're getting into the weeds again.
Yeah, we are doing it again. Let's move on.
How dare you, Miguel?
You're triggering us, Miguel.
Oh man.
Greg becoming a member. Shout out to you, Greg, for becoming a member. Willow with the $20 donation says, "What's up? Tomorrow's joint practice. Who from the offense really needs to have an amazing day? Who from the defense really needs to have an amazing day to make a statement for why they need to be on the 53-man roster?"
That is the question of the day.
Willow. I would say on defense, I would say Ethan Bonner. I don't know. I don't hear his name being brought up a lot. Ethan Bonner, is he kind of like fading into the background?
Nah, he's cornerback number four. I would disagree with you. I think Ethan Bonner has to make it through the preseason healthy. I think Ethan Bonner also has to emerge as a good gunner option. That's critical for you when you're the number four cornerback. Ethan's fine. Larry Borum would be high on my list of guys who need to play well tomorrow.
Not to be on the 53. So the question is. He's on the 53. Come on, dude. You know that.
No, I don't know that. I'm looking up.
I don't know that. My waiver wire says I don't know that. Daniel Brunskill, Keon Smith.
Yes.
Tanner Connor, who's had a good camp, but you know Tanner Connor is when we practicing, he's here. When we playing, he's invisible. Where's on the 53, point? your man Theo Weiss Jr. Because I like him. I like him. I'm not putting him on my 53.
Not right now.
He's on my practice squad.
Does he make it to our practice squad if we waive him?
Man, stop worrying about people waving people. Like, nobody wants your Dolphins. Nobody wants your Dolphins. Wow. Nobody wants your Dolphins.
Yeah, no, Laird Borum's making the roster. There's no savings in cutting him. So, yeah, Laird Borum's making the roster. $2.5 million.
Somebody might take that $2.5 million off your hands.
You trade him. That's another thing. You could save money. You trade him.
Grayson Murphy, another one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what about Derek McClendon?
Derek McClendon.
Yes.
I don't think he has a shot to make the 53, but that boy is hustling, okay? He's hustling. Matt Dickerson, I don't think he's safe. Mm. He should be safe, but I don't think he's safe. You got all those draft picks. You know Chris Greer is going to keep draft picks ahead of
him. And Dickerson makes a team before Biggers.
Yeah, he has
You can't cut a nose tackle. You can't cut a nose tackle.
Biggers
is going to get claimed. He
didn't play strictly nose tackle. Look at the dude.
He is a nose tackle. Biggers, because you only have Benito Jones as your nose tackle.
Jordan Phillips is your nose tackle.
That's what he needs to play well.
And you know he's not playing well.
Jordan Phillips. He need to play well in these joint practices.
Yeah, stop it.
You're not cutting a fifth.
Stop it.
Hey, Hey, he better show up. That's all I'm saying.
You're going to have your chance to Shedeur Sanders. You're going to have him because you're going to have a chance because he's going to be waived. You're going to have your chance.
I don't even know why you believe that, Omar. You ain't paying attention. But that's another conversation.
Hey, if he balls out, I hope he does ball out because the kid is being set up for failure. I really hope he does ball out.
Let's have a little fun here. Let's switch it up. I know we're the Dolphin Collective, but let's switch it up real quick. Which Cleveland quarterbacks make the roster? Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders. Who's getting cut?
It's going to be Kenny Pickett.
They're going to trade one of them.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett's on. He's going to be out. He's been getting banged up in camp. Plus, he hasn't looked great. Flacco's a veteran, want to still prove he has something. They're going to lean on him. Gabriel actually isn't looking bad. He's not a good quarterback to me, but he's not looking bad in camp. And Shedeur is absolutely ripping it. He's balling in camp, but he's been playing with the third and fourth string. Now, when they finally allowed him to play with the first string,
he stunk.
No, he didn't. He actually played very well, but it was the first string defense they put him against and didn't give him the first team offense. I'm telling you what's going on over
Daniel Fousey, who covers the Bears for ESPN, worked with us down here. He said Shedeur has looked the best of all the quarterbacks.
Yeah, he should start.
Which
they're not though. They're doing crazy stuff. They finally let him play against with the ones, but it was the defense and left him with the third unit offense.
They are setting him up to fail. So that they could justify whatever. Like, I feel sorry. If that guy's name was not Sanders, he'd probably have a better chance.
I don't agree, Omar. I think they're doing the right thing.
Why would they draft him if that was the case? Why would draft him for not making?
You know he was drafted two rounds at to be conservative lower than he should have been because of his shenanigans and name and behavior and all this kind of stuff. That kid is talent-wise. He's not a fifth-round draft pick.
That's fine, but you're going to draft him and then dump him just to prove a point that he did.
They drafted him to – you heard the owner. The owner was like, yeah, I went to bed thinking we wasn't going to draft him, and then we drafted him, and I was shocked. Like,
I think they don't wind up trading Gabriel or Sanders.
I think they'll keep
going. By the way, Tyler Huntley's probably not making the roster there.
No. But I actually think they're doing the right thing, though, now, Omar. I'm looking at it as a different perspective, unless they're just still terrible. I think they're just trying to take him through every bit of the ringer, and if he earns it, they'll feel good about it, and they'll know that they can't break him and he's the right guy. Now, they're treating him worse than Flores treated Tua. Hey, I don't know.
What are they texting him every day saying his breath stinks?
The funny thing is, Chicago is a flashback for me, and I think Poupard, I was trying to remind Poupard of it. I remember being in Chicago for joint practices in 2021, and I remember that was the first time I saw Flores being abusive to Tua. And Tua was having a practice, and Flores laid it into him. I couldn't hear what was being said, but I saw it. And you saw Tua's demeanor, like, shrink. And I was just like, ooh, what is this? And I can't tell you anything else that happened in that joint practice, but I remember that. And I remember exactly where they were on the field when I saw it. And I was just like, Flores, it was animated and it was vicious. And you saw Tua immediately shrink into like this kid that had been scolded. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
They should have never drafted him. Miami should have never drafted him. Flores didn't want him.
He did not.
That's so messed up.
But if Flores didn't want him, he should have told Greer he didn't want him because Greer would have never drafted him.
Yeah.
It just never made any sense to me.
But I'm glad we got him. Now we got us a quarterback, baby. Let's go. We got us a quarterback now. That's all that matters. The pass is
we need to clip that. We need to clip me and Omar's face at TD right now.
Hey, and then when he hears how he performs at the joint practice or sees him in the exhibition season, TD going to be the first one. We need us a new quarterback. Quinn Ewers need to be in the starting role. I don't know what this organization is doing.
I have always gone how Tua goes. He play well. I love on him and give him his credit. He don't play well. Hey, I just call it how it is. So,
listen, hey, let's shout out Flores.
We got our guy. We got a guy.
Shout out to Gary for becoming a member. We appreciate you, bud. G-Firm. With a fiver, says TD is the kindest, warmest, bravest, most selfless human being I've ever known.
Look at that.
They don't know that your relative to come on here and write this nice stuff.
Nah, that was my burner.
That's why it was only $5 because it was TD. He's like, I actually
need that back, fellas.
Greg with the fiver says, could Chop Robinson really be a DPOY candidate? I say his get off is comparative to Cameron Wake.
We gotta stop.
I need to see him play a little more.
Yeah, I would say like maybe a little bit. Simmer down a little bit.
Is he better than Jalen Phillips, Poupard?
The get off?
No, the player.
Just in general.
Oh, I think Jalen's more well-rounded.
I love me some Jalen
Phillips. But the question is, can he be a defensive player of the year candidate?
Not in 2025. I mean, no, not yet.
I think what we have to do is take a step back and look at the NFL and kind of seeing all the defensive. So it's like there's a lot.
Could he be a 10 sack guy? Yeah, he could be a 10 sack guy this year.
He's close.
I am surprised nobody has moved him around like an elephant chess piece and just have him rush the quarterback from wherever he picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised nobody has done that yet.
Give him the Wilkins treatment.
Were you saying no one? There's only one person so far. Oh,
my. No, that he's played 1 year. I mean,
but no one's done it.
Oh, my. Like, he's been 7 years. Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's what I asked you last week. I said, do you ever see him like at the linebacker, like from the linebacker position? That's what I meant by moving around.
Yeah, but I don't think he moves well backwards. Like Jalen does the linebacker stuff because Jalen moves well backwards. Like I was watching them because they were right in front of us today, and I was watching everybody work on their drop back. Maybe three guys could drop back of those edge players.
Cameron Good.
Fine.
Why are you giving me that look at?
Fine. What play have you seen, Cameron? And I don't want to be a Cameron Good hater because I like the kid.
Okay.
But what play have you seen in 13 practices that make you think Cameron Good is that guy?
Everybody has
gotten off in that edge rushing unit but Cameron Good.
He's gotten a couple of plays where he gotten close to the quarterback. The thing is, I don't see a dynamic athlete over here. I see a guy who's very, very fundamentally sound and does things the way they should be done.
Mm. Is he better than Grayson Murphy?
He's more well-rounded than Grayson Murphy, yes.
Okay. Is he better? Okay. You're right. I'm looking at things from just the edge perspective.
Correct. Grayson Murphy has a higher ceiling. Grayson Murphy could become potentially like a 10-sack guy. Cameron Good will never be a 10-sack guy. But Cameron Good could get 3-4 sacks, play good, solid run defense, and he's going to help you on special teams.
Mm. Are any of these guys better than Andrew Van Ginkle was? Or is?
No.
That's a good question. Gay.
Too early. Well, I see it in the regular season, but too early, I am loving Willie Gay right now. But yeah.
Birthday Salami with a fiver says Omar is right though. I'll repeat that one more time for Omar.
Yeah,
Omar is right though. You don't have the capable depth on O line to survive a catastrophic injury. It's already a question mark as is. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I get it. When you have the quarterback you have to have that solidified. And that's not shade. It's just reality. When you have a quarterback like that, you have to have that solidified. I mean,
notice I didn't roll my eyes at you.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl with two of the worst tackles in the NFL.
but like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, that's true. But that was supposedly the better O-line, the one that he just lost. So, yeah. Homer, are you okay?
I just saw somebody donate $100. I was like,
My gosh. All right. Well, Glenn, remember for 3 months. Love you, Glenn. You guys do a Sunday show. I sponsor
Saturday show.
Saturday show.
Oh, wow.
Matt with the Fiverr says, Hard Knocks. Does the Buffalo Bills suffer from the curse of the first half of the season? Here's my thing. And
who believes in the Hard Knocks curse?
Happened to the Dolphins.
TD, believe in the Hard Knocks curse or not?
I believe in it.
No, I mean, I hope it is one.
I did a whole statistic on it and how many losing teams were. And then I was like, it's iffy. And I saw how good the Dolphins were. And then I saw them go into midseason Hard Knocks. And then I saw what happened to the injuries. I believe in that curse.
Well, I hope it's one now.
But that's again, true. I when I saw Buffalo was going to be on Hard Knocks, I was like, oh boy. But then people are like, oh, good. No. Say Buffalo does get hit with the Hard Knocks curse, which I'll knock on wood for him. I hope it doesn't happen. We beat them week 3. You know what we'd have to hear? Oh, you only beat us because blah, blah, blah. And you only beat us because so-and-so's injured. I want a fully healthy Buffalo.
I agree. And by the way, Doug, they just updated the stats in that Bengal game. Joe Burrow actually 9 for 10, 128, and 2 touchdowns. Now he's sitting down.
Why is he still in the game?
They don't worry about stuff. They got to just go out there and do what he do. He ain't got to worry about, So, yeah.
He's played as many games in the NFL as Tua Tagovailoa.
Let me tell you the difference between those two. One of them, it's happened 4 out of 5 seasons and multiple times in a few of them. The other one, when he went out, he kind of like just lost that whole season almost. So it's not the same injury history. Okay, that people love to compare. He's actually been there for his team. It's just when he got hurt, it was a longer period. Yeah, just got to educate you on that, Omar, because I hear a lot of people saying that.
Anyway, $100 donation from John C. John C. out here, stop throwing so much money at us. Isn't he the one who's in college throwing all this money at us? Who's going to return kickoffs and punts this year for us? New kickoff rule.
We love you, John.
More than you'll ever know. Make this more important this year. The depth chart shows that it's
Malik,
and then on punt return, it's Hill and Waddle, and then on kick return, the third and fourth string. You could tell this is why you can't take a depth chart seriously, because like the third and fourth string on kick return is like Madison and
The Eskridge and then Jalen Wright, I think, is one of them.
Madison is there. The Eskridge is there.
Like if I'm Taj Washington needs to be like I'd have the Washingtons.
Yeah, I would like kicks, I would like Taj Washington returning kicks.
Gotta make the roster first. And I think he's
which is true,
that's but how you make the roster.
Him or Tyree, when are we gonna actually put a real weapon back there?
Well, the Dolphins have done it when they needed to, because I remember last season there was a few times where they Hill was back there on a punt.
I think Hill went back there in the Jets game.
He did. Mm.
Yeah, and I was like, what you doing, Tyreek? And then, but everybody's like, Tyreek is not trying. Tyreek quit on the team, blah, 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 blah. Tyreek, anyway.
See? Well, no, I'm just a Tyreek defender in this whole thing, but whatever.
Ethan with a $7 Canadian. I was going to say something Canadian, and then my brain just shut off, so then I didn't say anything.
Well, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, thank you, Canadian. Thank you, Canadian, Poupart.
There you go. Throw a little Canadian French at him.
Say thank you, Canadian. No, I don't do. I don't
do, do you see the Miami Dolphins?
You want me to go like, yeah, thanks, eh? Sorry about that.
No. Oh man. Do you see the Miami Dolphins adding some starters via free agency or trade before NFL week one? I it's different. When did they start cutting from 90 to 53? Was that last offseason or the year before that?
Nah, I think
which is crazy because all of a sudden there's this big influx of free agents. So it's you get about 2 weeks before the season starts too. So they're gonna add. We're gonna add some people. They're gonna cut a lot of people.
I think we'll see a trade. Chris Greer loves him a trade now. I think we'll see a trade.
You think so?
Player for player or pick for player?
I don't know. It's usually pick for player.
Where do you have surplus? Yeah, because where do you have surplus where you could afford to trade somebody? You know?
No. They go get.
I know what the pick for player means. I understand that, but I'm saying if it were to be player for player.
Surplus pass rusher. These edges.
True.
Because they're shining
in camp. Tell me who's a proven commodity beyond your top three.
We traded Dan Feeney one time, Profard. We traded Dan Feeney one time. Remember that?
That is so true. He was also
like 5 years of experience.
Yeah, I mean, but you know he sucked.
We got like seven for him too. Didn't we just switch sevens and trade him? By the way. I said, didn't we just switch sevens? Like it wasn't even that big of a trade or something.
No, it was a 6-round pick for, and they used it for Malik Washington.
There you go.
Yeah.
Phil with the fiver says TD talking all good about Tua. I think it's not him, but an AI deep fake.
Hey, man,
you can't tell the difference between AI if you
hold it's too good. Getting hard. It's getting hard, man.
Yeah. Have you seen the bunnies on the trampoline?
No. I watched a Micah Parsons fake press conference.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Those are good. Where those are getting good.
Roasted.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, the lips matched up, lined up, the voice matched up, lined up. It looked incredibly real.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had to send it to my Cowboys guys and be like, yo, I know this is fake, but this is getting real scary.
No, Omar, I saw one a few days ago where they had me actually saying Zach Sealer's name wrong. They had me hating on the trade. I was like, man, this is good. You should have read the comment section. People was believing it. Like, it's getting out of
control. I know. Man. They got you out here saying crazy
I'm
stuff.
I'm here, y'all. I'm here. This is the real me.
How can anyone hate TD? Like, seriously, how can anyone hate TD?
It ain't that hard.
You're so quick with them, dude. You're so quick.
Man, AI.
Greg with the tour says Doug has Patriots toilet paper. I do. I have Patriots toilet paper.
Oh.
And whenever we beat them, I take it out and I say, here, you guys can wipe your tears. Somebody a while ago sent me Patriots toilet paper. And then TD has the Josh Allen trash can. So
looks like the Houston Oilers, actually, the colors.
It's that bum.
There you go.
Might be the lighting. Oh, that's too funny. You made my head hurt, T. I'm laughing so hard at that. Oh, Brian with the tenor says, You all are the best Dolphins podcast because of the different perspectives. I love you all. Hi, Poop. Best Expo player in history. Who's your favorite Expo player?
Vladimir Guerrero. Omar with the Expo.
Hey, let me tell you a story.
Like Guerrero was an absolute
I stopped going to school, college, my sophomore season to do an internship with the Palm Beach Post, and they had me covering the Expos and all those other teams in spring training over there. That was Vladimir Guerrero's rookie season. I'm not a baseball aficionado, but holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. He was a 5-tool player. He was amazing.
Yep. I'm very, very impressed that you pulled that name out.
Yeah.
There you go. But that's all we got for today. I like
Jim Raines.
Another good one, TD.
I thought he was the best.
We will be back Monday.
I just looked that up, Omar.
We will.
You ain't got to tell the people.
I just looked it up. Like, yeah, I disagree. I would have said Gary Carter. Don't forget that one, Alec.
No. See, now you fooled me. Fool me one. Shame on you.
Oh my God. Yeah,
me again.
I do want to say before we end, one, I do enjoy this podcast thoroughly because you guys make me laugh. I think that's why a lot of people enjoy watching it. And it's phenomenal across the board. And CD, you know, I know you get a hard time by the fan base. It's kind of because you always trolling, but you keep things light and you do make me think. You do make me think. And y'all always know me and Poop. We got a weird bond in chemistry. We'll be watching practice tomorrow, and I'll actually be – he's on my podcast today. And we're talking about Dolphins in depth, and we're talking about some of the camp battles. And then tomorrow we will be recapping practice on his podcast.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
Hey,
Dolphins
hey.
Daily.
And if I could say something as well. Hold on. I can say something as well. I hope it wasn't too obvious, but a couple of times folks may have caught me doing this. I apologize. Had a very long day. I, unlike Omar and the other beat writers who flew on Wednesday, I flew Thursday morning. Been a long day. Went straight from the airport to practice. I'm a complete zombie, but didn't make any sense the entire show. Then again, what else is new? But I apologize if you caught me doing that.
You're good, Alan. You don't sleep at practice like Omar. You're good. but I did want to say this to everybody watching. I just like to have a good time. Yeah. I like to enjoy my I may make light of things, but I am a real Dolphin fan, and I've been through too much misery to continue to just somber all day. Mm-hmm. So I make jokes, I make laughter, I joke about Tua, I joke about this and that. I'm just having fun, and I know a lot of y'all getting your feelings about it. It ain't that serious. It really ain't.
Keys on my mind with the last donation wants to know when Poupart, what will it take for Alan Poupart to become a Dolphins fan?
He's covered the team longer than you're like the eldest statesman on covering the team, right?
I am, but I'm not a fan. I'm a journalist. You want to know?
Oh, I disagree with you. Here's my theory on why you're a fan. The better they do.
Tell me how I feel. Go ahead.
The better they do, the more money you make.
It was about to be my answer. You want to know how I would become a real Dolphin fans? If they win and they produce enough interest that my website completely blows up, the podcast completely blows up, and I can retire in luxury. Then I will be the biggest Dolphin fan you know.
He'll get one of these on him. He'll get one of these on him.
I don't know. I may draw the line there, but I'll be doing a lot of this.
Shout out to Zach Sealer before we go.
Oh man, but
Sealer or Zach Zealer?
I said S. I try to roll it, Omar. Zach Sealer. So just make sure people know.
Hey, I'm not the person to be making fun of people saying names.
Hey, Jonah's last name, Omar.
Jonah, I won't. His name is just Jonah.
Seven Iron.
We will see you guys on Monday at 7:30. We will recap the preseason game, talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. Hopefully there's no ugly or bad. But go check out Omar Kelly, Miami Herald. Also check out Alan Poupart on Miami Dolphins on SI. Also go check out their podcast. Like they said, they're going to be intermingling back and forth. Check out TD Finn's Talk, youtube.com/TD Finn Talk, and myself, youtube.com/DougLeeDurong. Alan, go lay down, relax, and we will see you all on
dinner in bed for me.
Counting them picks for me tomorrow, Alan.
There we go. We're out. Peace
from Caleb. Okay.